What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the program. This is a special NBA draft edition of Not Your Average Boston Sports Podcast. I am your host, Garrett Hayden. Great to be back with you folks this week. We talked about earlier in the week of doing NBA draft recaps. That's kind of what this is for today. Probably is not going to be as long as the regular program. Probably will be somewhere between 30 and 45 minutes, but I figured good time to do, a breakdown of the entire draft, going through the first two rounds. I'm also going to be looking at some trades that took place this week in the NBA, and luckily enough, the Celtics made two pretty significant trades, so, also be able to cover both of those moves as well. There are a couple of other trades that happened in the NBA that I'll take a look at, but obviously we'll then also look at the draft first two rounds, take a look at some teams that I thought did well in the draft, and then we'll also take a look at the Celtics, who selected three players in the draft over the last 2 days. So we will get to all of that. So I think I'm going to start with talking about the trades that happened, then we'll get to the draft because I feel like, we're obviously, this is an NBA draft focus here, but I do want to spend time talking about the Celtics moves first. So I think, me personally, not surprised by either trade. I think that given the Celtics situation in terms of being over the second apron and, really looking at a team that I think they kept everybody together, they were not going to have the ability to be as flexible. And I feel like the injury to Tatum, unfortunately, kind of made this situation more urgent than it seemed like, with the Celtics probably not being a title contender next season without Jason Tatum. It kind of made sense that, okay, they need to prioritize flexibility, get under that second apron so that they have more ability to kind of fill out a more evenly, balanced roster. And I think that kind of made sense. And I think just given the age of Jrue Holiday, the kind of health concerns about Porzingis, I think it made sense for the Celtics to move both of those guys. And I think, to be perfectly honest, I don't think that they made out terribly in either of those trades. And I think specifically with the Holiday trade, the Celtics bring in a player that I think, could be of, a decent caliber for this team and maybe even becomes a part of their future. So I think that's the trade we'll start with first. Celtics sending Jrue Holiday to the Portland Trail Blazers for Anfernee Simons, two future second round picks. And I think personally, I was surprised that the Celtics were able to get a player like Simons, who I think is a good up and coming player. Not quite an all-star caliber player, but is a good scorer, averaged 19 points per game in Portland last season. Good, solid young player. I think a very good offensive player, which I think if the Celtics are going to be without Tatum, it's important to have, consistent, reliable, NBA scoring. And I think Simons definitely gives you that. I think is not a great defender. And so obviously, you are definitely losing a lot on the defensive end by trading Holiday. I think that you are definitely getting better offensively. You're getting younger for sure. I think you're getting a player that is going to be able to score. But I think, Holiday, obviously, what makes him so special is his ability to affect the game in so many different ways. And I think the Celtics will definitely miss that. But I think this trade making out as well as they did, I'm kind of surprised. The 2 seconds I think is pretty good, but I really didn't think that the Celtics would be able to bring a player back that I think might be a part of their future. Now, I don't think that, Simons is going to be like terrible defensively. Like, I think the Celtics probably have a good coaching staff that they have the ability to probably be able to, make him into a decent defender. I mean, I think you look at somebody like Sam Hauser, who I think really came into the league as not much of a defender, but I think kind of came into his own that way. I think that gives you the confidence that, they can mold Simons into being at least a decent defender. They don't need him to be making, all defensive teams, but I think if he can be just a passable, decent defender, then I think that that's fine. But I do think the offensive profile really does fit what the Celtics are trying to do. So I think he will be a good fit. I do anticipate that he, starts for this team. I think you look at, him and Derek White and Jaylen Brown, I think that's a pretty good trio. And I think it's a pretty good trio that I think you can be comfortable that they're still going to be able to score quite a bit. Obviously they're going to be different without Jason Tatum. That's a given, but I think bringing in a guy that can help you this season and beyond was a really, really good part of that trade. So that was actually Monday night, hours after I recorded the pod earlier this week. And then Tuesday, you have the Pelicans and the Wizards making a trade. Pelicans sending CJ McCollum, Kelly Olynyk, and a future second to the Wizards for Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and a second round pick, which ended up being the 40th pick last night. So that was the other kind of major non-Celtics trade that took place on Tuesday afternoon. I think a kind of an interesting trade for both teams. I think that the Wizards are kind of gathering some past their prime guys, which is kind of interesting. I don't want to say Chris Middleton past his prime, but it's like he's definitely not the player that he was in Milwaukee. But I think clearly if he's signing an extension, they view him, as being a part of their team going forward. And, McCollum, I think, is still somewhat of a decent player, can still score. So that's kind of an interesting deal for Washington. I'm curious, what the season looks like for them. I know that they are historically terrible, but it's like, Middleton, CJ McCollum, you do have Marcus Smart. Kind of curious what they're working on over there in DC. And then the Pelicans, obviously bringing in Sadiq Bey, Jordan Poole, I think, is a decent player, can score, but, I'm not sure about the Pelicans and their direction. Really had a terrible season this past year, and I don't know, it doesn't seem like they have much of a direction at the moment. And then obviously, Tuesday night, the other big Celtics trade, the Celtics and the Hawks and the Nets finalized a three-team trade that sent Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick to the Hawks, Terrence Mann and the 2020 and the Terrence Mann and the 22 overall pick to the Nets, and then George Niang and a second-rounder to the Celtics. So again, I think going back to the holiday trade, this is kind of another move that made sense for the Celtics to do. And I think, just getting under that apron is really kind of the whole point of both of these trades. And I'm not terribly surprised because I think this is a team that recognized that it probably was a smarter thing to do to prioritize flexibility instead of running the same group back without Jason Tatum. I think that just obviously didn't make a lot of sense. So, I think it's too bad that I think this team gets kind of broken apart and just kind of the nature of this CBA, which is kind of unfortunate. But, I think, again, this is a deal which the Celtics, I don't think, made out too bad. Obviously, it's not like bringing in a player like Simons. Niang is obviously on an expiring contract, and I don't think he's going to last longer than a season in Boston if he still does. I don't know if he gets flipped again for something, but I think it's just unfortunately a trade that they had to make. I think this is a trade that the Celtics got. It was good, I think, that they didn't have to attach any additional capital, that they were able to kind of just trade Porzingis and Holiday, not have to attach another asset to get rid of them. So, I think in that respect, they made out pretty well. It's just tough to see somebody like Porzingis go that I felt like it just, help the Celtics win that first title, but kind of, I don't know, was injured and, not healthy for a lot of the time he was here. But clearly, you help a team win a title, that's, special enough. So I think I don't expect that Niang is going to make like a huge impact like I expect Simons to. I think Niang is kind of just one of those bench guys, is a good shooter, I think can be a guy that can knock down threes. But I just think like, don't think he's going to be like a starter. He probably comes off the bench, which is, what he's done the majority of his career, and kind of play 10, 15 minutes, be a guy that can knock down some shots. But I think beyond that, you're not expecting him to be too much of an impact player. Obviously as a native of the area, which is kind of cool. But I think, again, this is just kind of a necessary thing that the Celtics had to do. And this wasn't really about what you get in for, in return. So I think, largely fine with both of those trades. I don't think that this was, weren't trades that you look at and say, that was a bad move. It kind of just was, a thing that they had to do. And then as far as other deals that were made, other than draft picks, I think the only other deal that I thought was significant was Wednesday night during the first round that the Hornets traded Mark Williams for the 29th overall pick, a rotation player, and then, or a bench player, and 2029 first. So I thought that was significant. Phoenix needing some center depth, so they make that trade. Mark Williams obviously was initially supposed to go to the Lakers at the trade deadline, but the trade was rescinded. So he will be going to the Suns. And then you had a bunch of draft pick trades that obviously happened as well. The Celtics were involved with the trade last night as they acquired, or they traded their 32nd overall pick to the Magic for 46 and 57. We'll talk about both of those selections in a bit. But I think that's probably it for the trades that happened prior to the draft. Obviously we talked about the Durant trade on Sunday, which I think definitely is a pretty significant trade for the Rockets. I also think that, I think that actually this is a good segue to go start talking about the draft and guys that got picked, that the Suns acquired the 10th pick in the trade with the Rockets, picked Kaman Malawach from Duke with that second pick. I really liked him at Duke, so he's a big, good rebounder, good defensive player, and I think plays with some good energy. So I feel like that was a good move on the Suns' part, that not only were they able to get all those picks in return, which they definitely needed, but they get a player in Malawach that I think is going to be a really solid player. They get Mark Williams as well, as I mentioned with that trade that they made on Wednesday night. So I think it's a good solid additions for the Suns that I think definitely have, a glut of wing players in, Beal and Booker, although I don't know how much longer Beal is going to be with the Suns, but I think definitely a decent trade for both sides, because I think the Rockets get a superstar player to hopefully take them over the top, and the Suns get a lot of kind of much needed draft capitals. They had made a number of big trades in recent years, so they were able to recoup some draft capital there. So I think we're going to jump into the first round of the draft. Obviously, Cooper Flagg taken number one overall, not much of a surprise to anybody. And I think that, obviously, he goes right into a team that I think is going to compete and be a, title contender. I think that a lot depends on the health of Kyrie Irving, who just signed a new deal with the Mavericks, and Anthony Davis. So I think a lot rests on both of those guys. But I do feel like the addition of Cooper Flagg, it's a good spot for him. It's a contending team. Obviously, it's a team that, he's going to be surrounded by some talented guys on that team. A really good, solid coach in Jason Kidd. And I feel like it's a situation where, like, he's not going to be looked at to be the savior of a franchise. And I think that's almost going to help him develop, that he's not going to need to be the guy that rescues, a bad franchise. And, it's not like he needs to have like that expectation on his shoulders. And I think, obviously he's a very pro-ready guy, so it's not like he's going to need too much time to develop. I mean, we'll certainly need time to be able to assimilate to the NBA game, but I think just you look at all the ways that he impacts winning, watching him at Duke, that I feel like it's not going to be much of an adjustment period for him. But I am going to be curious to see, how he does in summer league with the Mavericks and then start of the season. But I think it's a good spot for him for number one. And then obviously the rest of the top five, Dylan Harper to the Spurs, Vijay Edgecombe to the Sixers, Con Knipl to the Hornets, and then Ace Bailey to the Jazz. Obviously, there's a lot being talked about with Ace Bailey that there is, I think, a rumor out there that there was a team in the top five that was instructed not to take him. I don't know if that team was the Jazz, but I think, if he is wanting to play for the Jazz, I think the Jazz made out pretty well in this first round. They also get Walter Clayton later in the first round in a there's a trade with. So I think that they had made a trade with, yes, 18th. They had made a trade with the Wizards at 18, so they also came out with Walter Clayton in addition to Ace Bailey. Walter Clayton was a guy that I liked to the Celtics. I didn't think he would fall that far. Obviously, he didn't, but I think the Jazz had a good first round. Danny Ainge, I think, hopefully trying to build a competitive roster, as the Jazz have had some struggles in the last couple of years. But I would hope that Ace Bailey does want to play for the Jazz, because I think if he does, they kind of made out pretty well in this first round. Other picks I liked, I did like the Malawach pick, who's taken by the Rockets, is going to be traded to Phoenix. Derek Queen, I really liked watching him at Maryland in the tournament. He was picked 13th overall by the Hawks, is going to the Pelicans. So I really liked that pick. Clayton, obviously, as I mentioned. Jace Richardson, 25th overall. The Magic picked him. He's being traded to the Nuggets. I like him as a player. I think that's a good situation to go to in Denver. So you had a lot of picks that got traded in the first round. And then, of course, Celtics making their pick at 28th overall, Hugo Gonzalez out of Spain. I think that this was a good pick that a lot of people were impressed with. Is a guy that is aggressive, plays with a high motor, but I think really good size, good athlete. And I think, certainly some things to work on with him. I think the shooting definitely needs to improve. But just a lot of athletic ability, plays, frenetic is a word that I had read when I was reading a scouting report. And I think definitely could fit right into that bench spot with the Celtics, or a wing spot on the bench, as the Celtics obviously are going to be without Tatum. Sam Hauser, I expect to get moved. So it's like having somebody with some explosiveness and aggressiveness, I think, makes a lot of sense. But I think, clearly a player that's not quite as polished, is 18. So it's like there's, or 19, I think. So there's certainly going to be some, growing pains. And he also, played for Real Madrid last season, only averaged about 10 or 11 minutes a game. So didn't play a whole lot. So I do feel like with maybe more consistent minutes, you might see more polished player, but I don't know if that's going to happen right away with the Celtics, and it may take a little bit of time. But I do think an exciting player that I think A lot of people really liked at the early stages of like doing mock drafts earlier in the year. I think there was some ESPN clip that I had seen that back in January when they had done like a top five, he was like a top five potential pick. So, I think clearly the potential is there. So, clearly there's a potential, there's potential there. And I do feel like it's a good gamble for the Celtics to make. And I do think there are plenty of people that thought this was a steal too, given that was potentially thought of as a high pick, earlier this year. So be excited to see what he can do in summer league and see, if he makes a jump to Maine or the NBA, as I think that there's, some question about whether he's going to play in the NBA next season or if he stays over in Spain. I would assume that he stays with the Celtics, but obviously you never know. So I was pretty happy with that pick. I think that they definitely needed some wing depth. And then looking at the second round, we'll get to the Celtics picks in a moment, but just some picks that I liked in the second round. Sion James went 33rd overall to the Hornets. I really liked him as a player out of Duke. I thought that he looked really, really good in the tournament games that I watched this past year, so I liked that selection. Jhené Brown going 35th overall to the Sixers. I think that that's a good addition. I think he's a really good, solid player. So curious to see how he does in the NBA. And I feel like there are all kinds of guys that I think second round picks that could do well in the NBA. Elijah Martin out of Florida was a big part of Florida's championship run this past spring. And then the Celtics are actually do one more pick. Tyrese Proctor from Duke was picked 49th overall by the Cavs, is going to Milwaukee. Like him as a player. And yeah, so here we go. Celtics 46th overall pick. Or that's right, so they had made the trade, trading 32 to the Magic for 46 and 37. The Magic at 32, or the Celtics at 32, picked Noah Penda from France. So he will be with the Magic. So that was part of the trade. And then the Celtics trading for number 46, Amari Williams out of Kentucky, was the Magic's pick. And then obviously they will complete that trade with the Celtics. So Amari Williams, I think, a decent addition, kind of another developmental player that I would expect, does start with Maine or start with the Celtics. Good size, really good rebounder. I think that's kind of the big thing about him, and really good shot blocker. Is a guy that is a really good passer for a guy his size. I think not too much of a scorer inside, but I do think that those, attributes of being really good on the offensive and defensive glass, being a shot blocker, and being a really good passer, I think, should be able to do well for the Celtics team. I think that the Celtics do have a habit of, putting their big men in positions to succeed, not necessarily being big time scorers, but being able to, impact the game in other ways. Cornette and Keita, I think, have had their moments, and I think goes to show you that the Celtics, I think, are good at developing those bigs. So I would think Amari Williams could be somewhat of a decent player for the Celtics in the future. I don't know if that's as soon as next season, but I do think, his passing ability, his shot blocking ability, good rebounder, kind of seems to be a little bit similar to a Robert Williams. Maybe doesn't have the as much of an above the rim ability and, the bounce that Rob Williams had, but I do think that definitely gives them another good solid big that they can hopefully develop. So I liked that pick, but obviously guys later in the second round, you're not, it's no guarantee that they're gonna help the team or even make the team, but I do think that it's good solid kind of potential kind of pick. similar to what they did, 28th overall. So I like that selection because I think they need some depth at that spot. You know, obviously Cornette and Horford are going to be free agents, you know, depending on whether Horford chooses to retire or not. So it's like it is possible that they could have a huge hole at that spot. But I do expect that they bring back Cornette. I think Al Horford, it's kind of up in the air whether he comes back or not, but I think they'd be in decent shape if Cornette came back. Obviously, if both came back, then that would be great, but I do think that they probably do want to think about, you know, being flexible with these, you know, guys that are going to come in first or second round picks that probably are not going to be making a whole lot of money. So, like, you have to be smart about that sort of thing. So, I do like the pick. And then the 57th overall pick, the Celtics, or the Magic taking Max Scholga, who will get traded to the Celtics. And so he was a 5-year college player, played at VCU, 39% 3-point shooter. So a guy that I think can be a good, solid offensive player. Don't really think that there's a whole lot to expect from him outside of that. You know, kind of just seems like a guy who's going to be able to give you good offense and shoot. You know, honestly, does kind of remind me of Sam Hauser, but you know, I think the Celtics were able to do a good job at kind of developing, you know, Sam into a decent defender. And I think there's no reason to think they couldn't do the same here. Scholga is a, it was the Atlantic 10 Player of the Year at VCU, so definitely there's some talent there. I think much more of an offensive game than defense, you know, which is fine. I think that the Celtics certainly need some guys off the bench that can score, and so I think he's definitely somebody that hopefully, you know, could develop into that sort of player. You know, obviously 57th overall, hard to expect too much, but you've seen all kinds of guys, you know, contribute, guys that were, you know, close to, you know, last pick in the draft or undrafted guys. You know, you've seen throughout the years teams that have utilized, you know, guys that are drafted at the end of the second or undrafted. So it's like I think there's always a place for those guys, but I think it'll be interesting, you know, how many looks he gets. Would expect that he plays on the summer league team, so that obviously will give you an opportunity to watch, you know, both or all three of Scholga, Amari Williams, and Hugo Gonzalez. So certainly, it'll be exciting to follow the summer league, follow those three picks, and you know whether they have a chance to make the Celtics. So, I think that's probably gonna do it for me for this NBA draft special. Really appreciate everybody, and you know, tuning in, listening to my Celtics takes and you know draft stuff as well. So, definitely next week we'll have more NBA thoughts as free agency will open up on Monday. So we'll go through some potential free agents for the Celtics. You know, I do think it's pretty much just the returning guys. I guess I'd be surprised if the Celtics were to do anything significant, but I do think that they probably want to continue to, you know, prioritize scoring depth as much as they can. So I think without Tatum, it may kind of be difficult, but that's why I do like the addition of Simons, because I do think that he might make that seem a little bit less daunting, that it's like, okay, you have him, you have Jaylen Brown, you have Derek White, and then whoever else you might acquire. So it's not like, oh, it's all on, you know, Jaylen Brown and Derek White to, you know, kind of be responsible for that scoring load. So, yeah, I think that will do it. We'll talk to you folks on Monday next week. As always, you can listen to the program on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, and you can follow along on Facebook and Twitter for the latest updates. All right, everyone, have a great weekend.